produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Richard Floyd, and this program is called Power Up Your Family. Happy to be back with you again once again, and it's been a great week, and I just wanted to let everyone know that as we approach Christmas, it's been a wonderful season to be part of so many wonderful things going on around the community. My wife and I have enjoyed the opportunity to share in the festiveness of this season. Saturday morning, we were able to have a wonderful breakfast, Christmas breakfast at our church, where we enjoyed the fun, the fellowship, and the food, as well as the singing of Christmas hymns, and particularly the opportunity to hear a message about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his birth in old Bethlehem. Yes, it is that time of the year. Just a few days ago, we pulled out one of our favorite movie classics, the Charles Dickens rendition of the story, The Christmas Carol. And I have fond memories of that story. Over the years, I've seen many of the different movie versions and have read the book. But I particularly remember it as a child and as a teenager because one of the traditions that our family was able to experience, and now when I say my family, growing up, my dad, my mom, and myself, I grew up as an only kid. But my father belonged to a Masonic organization known as the Scottish Rite, and they had a full stage auditorium in their meeting facility. And in this location, every year in December, they would have several productions of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. And no, my father didn't play the star role of Ebenezer Scrooge, but he was one of the businessmen that solicited from Mr. Scrooge a donation for the charitable donation for the poor. And I remember as my dad would rehearse those lines, I can almost remember them verbatim this day. So every time I see the movie or reread the book, I hear those lines being stated by my father. Now, interestingly enough, my mother, most of those years, was Mrs. Cratchit. And when I was younger, I was one of the Cratchit family children. Later on, as I got a little older and a little bigger, I was one of the participants in the singing choir that was going around, the carolers, if you will. I mention this just to indicate that all of us have traditions and fond memories of Christmas time. And it's an important season for us to bring our families together to enjoy the great love and excitement of this season. But it's also very important, as is often quoted, the phrase, Jesus is the reason for the season. You know, we used to complain growing up about all the commercialization with all of the sales and all of the secular Christmas songs, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Frosty the Snowman and all the others. And we kind of look back on that bygone era and chuckle a little bit, because now we're seeing in the politically correct arena criticism of some of those old songs that had a more secular message to it. And all this reminds me of just how important it is in the rearing of our children, our grandchildren, and in our families that we remember the real reason for this season. Yes, the spirit of giving is a beautiful thing. And, you know, if you think about it, what was the very first gift given at Christmas time? Well, obviously, it was God giving to us his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. So we, in emulating that gift, that sublime gift that Heavenly Father has given to us, his Son, we're reminded in the biblical accounting of that time, the visit from the three wise men and how they brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, each having some symbolic representation. So the giving of gifts is associated with the birth of the Savior. And so that tradition through the St. Nicholas time of 400 A.D., the Catholic monk who St. Nicholas is named after, who literally was a real person who did things that started many of the traditions that we think of today, all the way down to the more recent 19th century version of Santa Claus. And of course, that familiar story that we always think of when we hear the words, 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. So a lot of fun, a lot of traditions. Of course, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Frosty the Snowman, all of these things help us to enjoy this season. But it's so important that we keep focus on the Savior himself, because it was his gift to us that through his sacrifice that he made for us the possibility of eternal life, salvation, and exaltation. And I testify to you that that is the real meaning of Christmas. I love the biblical account and the prophetic utterances of Isaiah, where he talks about the messianic references to the coming of the Savior. You know, the verse that's used over and over again in Handel's wonderful The Messiah, the music, where it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So, as we think about those words that to describe the Son of God, as we know him, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Christ, the prophetic nature of what Isaiah is sharing with us was fulfilled some 2,000 plus years ago there in Bethlehem with the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, one of the traditions that I also loved as a family is we would, in setting up our Christmas tree and other Christmas decorations, we would lay out a red felt cloth, and there were these little triangular kind of block pieces that we would use, and we would lay on top of this the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, open to Luke chapter 2 and the verses referencing the so-called Christmas story, if you will. And one of the traditions we would have is this was about to be laid out on the table there in our family room, is my dad would read the story, read those verses in Luke 2. And so as we are approaching Christmas, I'd like to take a few moments to share that scripture with the audience today. Luke 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Sirius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in a swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even into Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Now, as I have read this series of scriptures, heard it read, heard versions of it given in music, I'm always reminded of just the tender sight and the amazing miracle of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Excuse me. As we celebrate that great occasion here this Christmas season, may we all be mindful of this great blessing and great gift that we've been given. that through Jesus Christ, we may have life abundant and life forever. I testify of this great, wonderful blessing that Heavenly Father has given to us. As a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Church has established an amazing opportunity for us to be very mindful of the opportunities this time of year to be of service to others. We have a program known as Light the World. And as we are embarking upon this season, the Light the World campaign is well underway. We are given the opportunity, and we'll have a link available. You can go to mormon.org/Christmas to read more about it, to see the videos. There's some beautiful videos of the Savior and of Christmas and the opportunities to serve one another. But one of the things that has been suggested in the Light the World campaign is that each week there be a different focus. And this week coming up is entitled Light Your Family. Ironic. Here's our show, our program about Power Up Your Family. And we hear the words, Light Your Family. Now, there are several suggestions that are given at the website of Light the World. And I'm just going to review a few of them here as we think about things that we might want to do as a family, especially as we approach Christmas. Obviously, at the top of the list would be to have family prayer. And in doing so, to remember the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to help the family be mindful through prayer of this special relationship that we have with our Father in heaven and with His Son Jesus Christ. Another series of ideas that might be appropriate for your family, and you may come together as a family and have a family council, maybe a family night or a family home evening, where you discuss ideas of things specifically that you may want to do with your family to celebrate this wonderful season. But here are a few ideas that are listed on the Light the World website. Perhaps doing chores with your family, you know, especially if you're younger teenagers or whatever, helping out in the home, doing chores with your parents. Perhaps if you're an adult child with older parents, maybe you go to their home and do some help around their home. Hint, hint, kids. Also, perhaps seeking out, calling, or visiting a family member, maybe someone you haven't talked with in a long time. Could be a cousin, a brother, a sister, or an aunt, or maybe a grandparent. Someone that you haven't really communicated a whole lot with recently. This would be a good time to do it. Something that I find fascinating and suggested is teaching our children something that we've learned from our parents. And of course, growing up as an adult now, being a parent and having children of our own, it's often fascinating to me to think back of experiences that I had as a child and lessons that I'd learned growing up from my parents, many of which, perhaps all of which, are applicable and usable either with our own children or our grandchildren. Another item listed is discovering our ancestors and going back, perhaps using resources such as FamilySearch.org, doing some genealogy work, and being able to identify some of our ancestors from the past. And as we discover those ancestors and learn about them, to share that with our families to help bring our families closer together, past, present, and looking forward to the future. Another suggestion is to attend a special event, an athletic event with a loved one, and helping to encourage them or cheer them on as they participate in that event. Here's one that I regret that I didn't do while my parents were still living, and that would be to make an actual tape recording or a video recording of my father or mother and or grandparents, where they share their life story. Now, having missed that opportunity, perhaps it would be wise of us to take the opportunity to make such a video or tape recording for our own children and our grandchildren, to have them be able to have that in the future. Just a suggestion that is available through Light the World website. Now, no doubt somewhere during this season, you're going to be having a sit-down dinner or a meal with the family. And perhaps as you have the meal or before you start the meal, go around the table and ask everyone to share something about why they love the members of their family. And I'll share a story here in a little bit of a tender experience that I remember someone talking about a few years ago, doing such a thing. Some other suggestions would be perhaps writing a handwritten note, not a text message, but a handwritten note to parents, in-laws, or to some other family member that perhaps would appreciate having a handwritten message. That's something that is greatly missed this day and age. We get so accustomed to using electronic media and text messaging or video conferencing and the like, that we don't take the time to hand write letters and notes. And I found it fascinating that during the coverage of the Bush family and the passing of George Herbert Walker Bush, past president, that apparently he was quite a note writer and a letter writer. And they shared in some of the programming some of those letters that he had written and messages and notes that he had written to people. And it's interesting to note how much the individuals who received those, not even necessarily family members, but especially family members, how much they appreciate having that little piece of remembrance from that loved one who's now passed on. So writing a handwritten note or a letter to others, that's something that will be a great cherished legacy that you can leave for them and something that they can remember you by. Perhaps some goals to set. You know, as we come up toward the end of the year, we always talk about 1st of January, we talk about New Year's resolutions. And a lot of jokes are made about New Year's resolutions about, you know, I'm going to go on a diet or I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. And how within just a few days, most people have given up on that resolution and they have failed miserably at accomplishing whatever it was they had resolved. So we might suggest that writing things down, you know, establishing a goal and writing it down and maybe quantifying it either by a timeline, a date, or a quantity is one way to help us stay on track with our goals. But one of the suggestions in the Light the World website is the goal to every morning between now and Christmas to get down on our knees and to pray. Every morning, have a prayer on our knees, a sincere prayer where we pour out our heart to Heavenly Father. And perhaps in doing so, we offer a prayer of gratitude without any requests, just a prayer of gratitude during this time of the special season. Another suggestion is perhaps setting our alarm clock 15 minutes earlier in the morning than usual so that we can get up and actually read the scriptures, spend time reading the Word of God from the scriptures and getting our day started with that great opportunity to be edified, strengthened, and nourished by the good Word of the Lord. Now, a thought that is also suggested in the site is to share with your family perhaps an experience when prayer helped us, when prayer made a difference in our lives and something specific occurred as a result of that prayer, and to share that experience with others. You know, since we live in an age of social media, you know, oftentimes people will post pictures of a meal they're eating or beautiful scenes of sights that they're seeing. But here's some suggestions of things that we can also use social media for. Perhaps we would post our favorite scripture. You know, for me, it would probably be John 3:16. Posting on social media perhaps a special song, a Christmas hymn, if you will. I would perhaps select something from the Tabernacle Choir and have a link where it could be seen. These are some ideas that are suggested. Now, here's one I particularly like, and that is placing a picture of Jesus Christ in a prominent place in our home, and especially perhaps having a picture of Jesus Christ in the bedrooms of our children. Having a picture of Jesus Christ serves as a very gentle reminder every time we enter or leave or say, ponder some time in a room, as we look up and see that picture of the Savior, it just rekindles a thought, a memory of appreciation for Jesus Christ, and it helps us to stay close to Him. So having a picture or pictures of Him throughout our home is certainly a great idea. Now, given this time of year, visiting a temple or other religious site would certainly be a great family excursion. In Salt Lake City, it's a grand and glorious occasion this time of the year because right around Thanksgiving weekend, the area known as Temple Square is decorated to the hilt with Christmas lights, with scenes, nativity scenes, music being broadcast, Christmas hymns over the PA system out into the courtyard. Just a beautiful, beautiful sight to see there at Temple Square. I remember in the fall of 2000, Thanksgiving weekend, in fact, we were taking our youngest son to Utah to report to the Missionary Training Center, as he was to report there to serve his full-time mission with our church. He served his mission in the Germany-Berlin mission. And I remember that weekend before we dropped him off at the Missionary Training Center, we had that experience of being there in Temple Square with all of the Christmas decorations and all the excitement associated with that. And there were literally thousands of people walking around and viewing and touring the sights and listening to the sounds and enjoying this beautiful, beautiful scenery. And I remember our son was rather excited. And he said, "Wow, this is Disneyland for Latter-day Saints." And I just thought, that's pretty old nails it on the head. It is a neat and unique experience. But obviously, if you don't live in the Utah area, find some location nearby, a religious site of some sort. It conjures up for you special feelings of gratitude to Heavenly Father and to His Son, Jesus Christ. And take the time as a family to go there and to view and to watch and to listen to the sights and sounds associated with that site. Here in the Memphis area, we have a very unique, iconic landmark. Out off of Interstate 40, there's a large church there that has three huge crosses. And they're well lit, and you can see them from the interstate several miles away. And it's quite a landmark. And I'm sure for those who share in the Christian faith, it's a site that is memorable and certainly something that should be appreciated by all those who witness it. So whatever faith or religion you have, find time to go to a religious site and to ponder on the great blessings of a supreme being, a loving Heavenly Father, and His great gift that He's given to all of us. You know, He's given us the gift of free agency, the freedom to choose for ourselves whether we will follow and keep His commandments and live in accordance to His law, or the freedom to choose to do otherwise. But He's given that great gift of agency to all of His children, and we should be thankful for that. The other great gift that Heavenly Father has given to us is life. He literally is our Father. He created us as spirit children, spirit sons and daughters. He created all of us. So it doesn't matter as we enter into mortality, whether we're white or black or brown or yellow or red or whatever ethnic derivative we are, we're literally all sons and daughters of the same loving Heavenly Father. Therefore, we are literally brothers and sisters. I love that concept, and I truly, truly believe it. Also, the next great gift that Heavenly Father has given us, of course, as described in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And lastly, the Savior himself gave to us this great gift of eternal life by sacrificing himself in the Garden of Gethsemane and on the cross as he endured the atonement to give us the ability to be cleansed of our sins and to be able to return to our Father in heaven. I testify of this great truth and pray that each of us may enjoy this beautiful Christmas season in the Spirit of Christ and enjoy our families, that they may be lit up and that we may power up our families through faith in Jesus Christ and through him alone. I testify of this simple truth and do so and express my love and gratitude to each of you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yeah.